Boulevard, just south of the St. Augustine Pier. The attorneys can be reached at 461-3000. That's 461-3000. Or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
On 91.7 FM, we talk about God's good news.
You're listening to The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here each and every day on Let's Face the Issues. We'll be talking about an issue today that I believe is critical, urgent, for us to understand, if for no other reason that we might pray and ask God to deliver us from the potential of an Islamicized America. Now you might think, that's an impossibility. It'll never happen in America. In fact, I've heard President Trump say that it will never happen in America. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, I believe Pandora's box is open. I believe that we're on the fast track for witnessing in our lifetime what the demographers have said would take place in America by 2040. And that is that America would be an Islamic nation, controlled by Islam, controlled by Islamic Sharia law. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a very earth-shaking thought to me. Keep in mind, we talk about one nation under God. We have that on our currency. We talk about a pledge to the flag. And ladies and gentlemen, every individual that's elected for a public office in America are required to swear an oath to protect and defend the Constitution and the laws of the United States of America. But yet, ladies and gentlemen, when you read the Quran, when you look at what the Quran says, the Hadith and the Bukhari, those are the major writings in the books, the religious books of Islam, that's altogether different. Did you realize that an Islamic person, based on Allah, of course the false moon god, their god, and the writings called the Quran, and the Bukhari, which is the musings and sayings of Muhammad, forbid any Islamic from pledging an allegiance to any other god, any other nation, any other precept, principles, or religious beliefs other than Allah and the Quran. We're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about the number of people that's run a race, political race in America, that's been elected, and they've been sworn in on the Quran. Do they really have an obligation to uphold the Constitution of the United States of America and the laws thereof? The answer to that, very succinctly, is absolutely no. But yet we're told, don't worry about that. Now, the state of Texas, the governor, the attorney general in Texas, are taking a stand. We'll read an article in a moment where they're saying no Sharia law in Texas. We have discovered that in the state of Florida, Governor DeSantis has declared Council on American Islamic Relations a portion of the Muslim Brotherhood are terrorist organizations and are illegal in the state of Florida. President Donald J. Trump has declared that Muslim Brotherhood is a terrorist organization and not to be recognized or embraced or approved in America. But yet we see Islamic jihadists running for office, local, state, national office, being elected, being sworn in on a Quran. Now, I don't know whether that worries you, bothers you, or causes consternation or not, but we're witnessing the uprooting, the annihilation, the evisceration of our Constitution and our founding documents. And my Bible says in Psalms 11:3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? That's what we'll talk about today. I'd love to hear from you. We're going to have a brief monologue. After the monologue, we'll open our telephone lines and invite you to join in the dialogue and the discussion. And lest I forget it, and oftentimes I do, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Scripture, the Word of God. I call it the Truth Book. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 8:31-32, made this statement: if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. And by the way, that word indeed can be translated truly, surely, absolutely. Let me read that again. If you continue in my word, then you're truly, surely, indeed my disciple. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The people that will quote, well, the truth shall make you free. What truth? Not their truth. Not a partial truth. Not a bifurcation of truth. But the Word of God. John 17:17 says, thy word is truth. He's talking about the truth of the Word of God. The Lord Jesus then says in John 14:6, I am truth. Ladies and gentlemen, there's only one source book, validatable source book of truth on the face of the globe. It's called the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E, the truth book. If we stay in the book, if we stay in the truth book, if we read the truth book, we study the truth book, Jesus Christ says, I am truth, and it will bring about an absolute revolution, I believe, in America, even among Christians. In fact, a frightening article I just read recently that I think it's a very low number, says only 31% of American Christians read the Bible. About 31%. No wonder, if I can be blunt, Christians are dumb as a rock when it comes to what the Scripture says. Because we're not studying the Word. We're not reading the Word. Not meditating on the Word. So, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the Scripture. Psalms 117:2 says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. And yet the secularist of yesteryear, George Orwell, said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. You'll find, ladies and gentlemen, when you stand for the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, and all that's attributed thereto, there'll be those that will despise you, hate you, reject you, refuse to hear you. And that's because we've gotten so far away from the elementary, fundamental foundations of what is truth. Truth matters, regardless of what side of the nation you live on, left coast or the right coast. I believe we need to understand that truth matters, ladies and gentlemen. And yet we have, according to a survey of about a year ago, it says 55% of the Americans 18 to 35 years of age say each person determines their own version of truth. In fact, the headline of that article says, most younger Americans say there's no such thing as absolute truth. Ladies and gentlemen, absent of absolute truth, we're in trouble as a nation. This is the reason we face the issues each and every day based on truth, absolute truth. not fragments of truth, not maybe hope so happens that's truth, but what does the Bible say? What does the Word of God say? What are we to do with what we know as Christians? That's the bottom line. And the Bible calls on us to be salt and light, to be a preservative in a decaying society, to be luminaries in a darkened world. Ladies and gentlemen, I always like to quote the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge each and every day right here on Let's Face the Issues. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power dealership equipment company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a full line of Honda generators with a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how do I find that? It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a benchmark, an identifier. There's a 165-foot flagpole. The base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. Flowing atop that flagpole is the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole and you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to take a few moments and a brief monologue, then open our telephone lines and invite you to call in. Love to hear you respond. Let me set the stage. We're going to talk about the oath of office for any elected political leadership, whether it's local, state, national, or on a national basis, being the federal government or the state governments or the local governments. Usually, the oath of office is required in order to be seated as representing that particular seat that you've won in the election. Now, it's alarming to see the number of people that are being sworn in on anything other than the Word of God, the Bible. The Bible is where they're swearing to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. The Bible, when they're holding their hand up in place toward God and placing their other hand on the Bible and swearing the oath, they're swearing to uphold the Constitution of the United States, defend it from interior or exterior enemies coming in, and to uphold the laws in the United States of America. That's not happening. So the question that I'm challenging you, do you believe that we need to have something that will go back to rudimentary, fundamental, elemental events? By the way, I believe it was, if I'm not mistaken, I don't have the document before me, I believe it was in 1961, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled on this and said that since the First Amendment says there's not going to be any government religion, a required religion, that we cannot therefore require a person that's being sworn into office to swear on the Bible to uphold the Constitution. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to frighten you today with reading to you from the Quran and some of the statements from the Bukhari and from the Hadith, the musings and sayings of Muhammad, and what they follow as Islamics today, and where their real oath of office lies, and it's certainly not in the Constitution of the United States of America. But I'm concerned with where we're going. I wanted to bring this to your attention and ask you to respond. I want to hear from you today. Do you believe we need to have a law that requires the oath of office being in America? Not talking about another nation, not talking about a heathen nation, I'm talking about in the Judeo-Christian values of the United States of America, where the oath should be, where they're being sworn in to uphold the Constitution, where they're swearing an oath on their, with a hand on the Bible. Do you think that's a stretch that should not be done? Did you know that people being sworn into office with a hand placed on a Quran or some other holy book, as they call it, Buddhist and others, we've got those in office today that have been sworn into office with their hands hand on the holy writings for Buddhism. I think it's time, ladies and gentlemen, we recognize we're on the fast track for the Islamization of America, and I think it's time that we, as Christians, say something, do something, and stand before it's too late. Ladies and gentlemen, if you consider just what it would be like to live in a nation where Islamic Sharia law controls, have you considered that? Have you considered what it would be like, ladies and gentlemen, if we are an Islamically controlled nation? Ladies and gentlemen, our nation is now wrestling with the what I call the push to Islamicize America. We're wrestling today with an almost silent, hush-hush, political, muzzled push by Islamic jihadists for them to take control of city by city and state by state, to control the United States of America. Listen, Islam has operated for 1,400 plus years on incrementalism. One office at a time, one city at a time, across the nation and around the world, one nation at a time. Right now, in the nation of Africa, the continent of Africa, the northern half is all controlled by Islamic jihadists. And now more and more moving south, destroying Christians, burning churches, beheading pastors. Because, you know, the word Islam means submission. And the goal of Islam is to bring the world unto submission to Allah and no other God. Now, I don't know whether that bothers you or not. It brings great consternation in my heart and mind when I see what is happening and I see the silence. But consider, ladies and gentlemen, and Islam America, where state after state, city after city, we have Islamic leadership. I want us to just take a moment to take a glimpse at what that would be like. I'm looking at one of the headlines. It says, this is big. Congressman proposes a plan to deport those who follow Islam's Sharia law. Now, I don't know that that'll ever take place in America. You won't get enough votes in the House and the Senate, even from the so-called conservative Republican Party, to do so. This article reads, calling the ideology and violence and the that permeates Islamic Sharia beliefs and law incompatible with American society. U.S. Representative Chip Roy, Republican of Texas, has suggested a plan that would allow individuals to pursue that extremism be deported, and it would prevent foreign nationals who follow Sharia law entering the United States. A report at the Federalist explained the plan called Preserving a Sharia-Free America Act. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I could read you the balance of the two-page article. It would stand useless and a frivolous waste of time to do so. Simply put, we have some that recognize what has happened. We have a few in the U.S. House that realize what has happened. We have some states with the governors like Governor DeSantis and Governor in Texas that realize what is taking place. And they're doing something and trying to do something about it. That telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Love to hear from you. Do you have any problem with having a Sharia law nation? Do you have any problem seeing incrementalism where Islam is taking control of America? Ladies and gentlemen, the question that I've just asked, setting the stage for a further conversation about this issue today, what would it be like if we in America that is an Islamically controlled nation? I'm looking at a headline that says, what's happening in America right now should send chills down the spine of every American Jew, every freedom-loving person in the West. And it talks about what is taking place with the fall, as this writer calls it, the fall of New York City, with the Islamic jihadists falling into the position of leadership there. It goes on to say the ideological walls that once protected freedom and decency in the United States is collapsing around us. The center is vanishing. The extremists of both sides are being mainstream and slowly, incrementally taking control. May I say, this article writer says the big winner, Qatar and the Muslim Brotherhood, and they're financially supporting the rise of Islamic candidates across America. The socialist movement, as well as funding the split of the Republican Party, all to destroy America from within. Now, ladies and gentlemen, There are some people that are opening their eyes. There are some in leadership role that realize what is happening. And if you want to understand what an Islamicized America would be like, let me just go down a little list of what I call the litany of what it will be like in America if we have Islamic control and Sharia law. Now, I'm concerned, and I'm leading to the point of talking about the oath of office, what it is, what it is not, what it does do, what it does not do, and when an Islamic swears an oath to office to uphold the Constitution, what is he or she saying? What are they willing to do? Will they, in fact, they, the Islamic candidate that gets elected, will they uphold the Constitution? Will they uphold the laws of the United States of America? Or are they simply saying that, knowing that based on the law of abrogation in the Quran, as they call it, the Noble Quran, the Holy Quran, they are released of any obligation to adhere to what they say if their deceit leads to Islamization and control by Islam? So what happens in an Islamically controlled environment? Look at Europe. I'm looking at a headline that says, in Europe, foreigners are raping white women in droves, and the left yawns at it. It's widely known that foreign-born rapists and criminals avoid accountability in Europe because political leaders are consumed with fear of being labeled racist or Marxist or Islamophobics. The Marxist left has thereby implemented a multicultural discrimination against native Europeans that demand accountability for indigenous European ethnicities in ways that would never be dreamed of and demanding they be adhered to. Ladies and gentlemen, it goes on to talk about the horror that is taking place in Scandinavian countries and in Europe as a result of the jihadists coming in by the droves that's taking control. I'm looking at a headline, moderate Muslim Democratic Socialist Mandami reveals venom as his fans openly call for, listen, his fans, his electors, calling for Sharia law in New York City. Muslim Democrat Socialist Zohran Mandami, the mayor in New York City, not hours after his election, revealed his venom against anything that is not Islamic. It goes on to talk about what is taking place in New York City, even today, after that brief period of time now that he has been mayor. So what happens when America is Islamicized? What happens in our nation that becomes ruled under Sharia law? When I say Sharia law, we're talking about the law based on Islam, based on the Quran. And ladies and gentlemen, if you've not read the one that is called the Noble Quran, let me just read to you before we go further. Several surahs, we call them chapters and verses. They call them surahs in the Quran. The Surah 3151, we shall cast terror in the hearts of all those who are non-Muslims. Surah 2191, and kill all non-Muslims wherever you find them. Kill them, such is the recompense of all non-Muslims. Surah 2193, fight until there's no more disbelief in Allah. Surah 2216, jihad, that's holy fighting in Allah's cause, is ordained for all Muslims. Surah 456, those who disbelieve, we shall burn them in fire. Surah 4101, the disbelievers, that is all non-Muslims, are ever open unto you as enemies. And I could go on and on and on reading from the Quran the surahs that say that. But ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. Let's do a little hypothetical imagination for a moment. Let's just say that Islam has taken America and we've become an Islamic nation. Sharia law is the thing. What happens? Women are required to be in black hooded garments with only their eyes showing. You can look at some places in America today where you got enclaves of Islamics, and that's the norm in their community. You can look at Dearborn, Michigan, and you see entire communities smaller township areas in that area where women are walking down the street and black hooded robes, their garments that's required, the burqas that's required, with all their eyes showing. And secondly, the women are not allowed to go outside in public unless a man, their brother or their husband, goes with them. And ladies and gentlemen, the female, the woman, Islamic woman, is to walk at least 3 feet behind the husband. He must lead out in the walk. And in many, many nations, ladies and gentlemen, Islamic women are not allowed to go to school, not allowed to get an education, not allowed to be a part of any political system in their nation. Ladies and gentlemen, under Islamic Sharia law, and there's been modicums of it in America, where little girls, Islamic girls, 12 years old about, have to go through the barbaric surgeries. It is called, in their surgery, the female genital mutilation, better known as FGM in America. That's taken place several times in the past 20 years in America, and on one occasion in a Texas court where the judge determined, after we're being told that that's what the Quran allows and calls for, he then did not sentence the man and his wife for their barbaric treatment and surgery mutilation on the little 12-year-old girl. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a nation where every city will have Islamic prayer towers. Right now in Dearborn, Michigan, the five prayers, five times a day, prayer starts at 3:30 a.m. in the morning. Every Christian, every conservative, every non-Muslim has to tolerate, put up with, endure that loudspeaker sound of the Islamic prayers in Arabic language. Now, I could go on and on and on for hours talking about what life would be like in America if we continue the track. And it's not a matter of if we're doing it now. It's a matter of when it will come about as a total control. And it's incrementally taking place, city after city after city, town after town, state after state. In fact, the election that's coming up, I'm told that there's over 1,100, not 11, not 100, but 1,100, over 1,100 Islamic jihadist candidates running for office across America. Every imaginable political office, we have Islamic jihadist candidates running. Now, there's some of our former, how would you say, some of our original states that in their formation constitution said that you had to be Christian to run for office. That's no longer adhered to, even though some of the states in our nation still have that codified in their constitution. It's not adhered to. It's been determined that that cannot be required anymore in America. Ladies and gentlemen, cities where streets will have their names in Arabic being named after Islamic jihadist martyrs, as in London, England. Cities with Sharia law, not constitutional law, to be carried out. America would be like Dearborn, Michigan. America would be like other nations and cities. By the way, what do you think the fundamental rudimentary problem is in Minnesota? It is the invasion of the Islamic jihadists that are there. They're called the Somalians, all of which are Islamics, and they were all transported there by Barack Hussein Obama, planted there in that state. Now that state is controlled by the absolute basic Sharia law that is carried out by the Islamics, and they don't have any problem with fraud, defrauding the infidel, as Americans and our American law would be viewed. Ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you will opine and say, well, that won't happen in America. That can't happen in America. It's not going to happen in America. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about that after the top of the hour news break. We're going to talk about that, get into depth about what the swearing of the oath means and what it connotes and what we need to do and how we should respond to it. It is urgent. It is a call today to recognize where we are. I think we've passed the turning point. I think we've passed the tipping point where there's something that can be done. We need to understand where we are and what is happening. Ladies and gentlemen, don't turn your dials. Hang in there. We'll be right back, right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church